Good morning. Everybody hear me out there? It is. Okay. Hi. Happy New Year. Good to see everybody here this morning. I know you had to brave the cold to get out, and I appreciate the fact that you were willing to do that. We're going to begin next year. We're going to begin a series in prayer and walking by faith. And also I wanted to start out on this Sunday with how to resist temptation. All of us are tempted. There's no one in here that says they're not. And if you think you're not, then you're not doing anything, okay? We're going to talk about that a little more in depth this morning. The text I chose is Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days, and when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And he took him back to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Father, I thank you this morning for your word. Your word is truth. I thank you, Lord, for your Spirit, the Spirit of truth, whom you have sent to live in the hearts of your children. Lord, I pray that you will help us this morning as we discuss this topic of temptation. You will help us to better understand how to resist these things. We can, in your name, resist temptation. We can, in your name, turn from our sins. I just ask your blessing on those who are here today. Be with those who are in the hospital, who are ill. I just ask you to touch them and heal them. Be with those who are spiritually sick and wounded, Lord. I pray again that you will touch and heal them. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Very famous account in the Bible, Matthew and John, or not John, Matthew, Luke, and I believe Mark, talk about the temptation of the Lord. And temptation is something we all go through. Now, sometimes we acquire a taste for things when we're in the world, and when we come to Christ, we can be tempted with something, and another Christian could look at you and say, "Well, I don't see how that could tempt you." You know, I've heard people, "Well, I don't see how anybody could smoke one of them nasty cigarettes." Well, it's an acquired taste. Theologians call that acquired depravity. You acquire a taste for some kind of sin. And today we're going to talk about what to do when we are tempted. Everything the Lord did was for our example. Now, if you take this at face value, and I've heard it preached this way, well, all you got to do is quote the word of God to the devil and he leaves you alone. That's not true. We'll see that here in a few minutes. James wrote, "Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Now, I read you that because what James said is true. If you believe the Bible is the Word of God, that Holy Spirit filled men penned these words. And we're going to see the truth of that today. The King James says we're drawn by our own lust, and that gives a negative connotation. We just think of lust is nasty. If you're lusting after something, that's a strong, wrong desire. But I like the way the English Standard interprets this word, because that's basically what the Greek says. We're drawn by our own desire. I told you before, when I was first saved, about the first 5 years, you said, "Who's your worst enemy?" I would have said, "Oh, it's the devil." A little later, I'd say, "It's me." Because you see, beloved, we give him the ammunition. Okay? Now, don't shut me off. Listen to what I have to say. Listen to the word. James said we're tempted when we're drawn by our own desires. We see the first temptation here is that Jesus had spent 40 days without food. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And this is very important. This is something you need to think about. Why was Jesus in the desert fasting? Was it just because he needed to drop a few pounds? No. He was preparing for the ministry that God had called him to. Jesus was spending quality time with the Father. And Jesus was facing temptations from the enemy. I'm going to tell you something. If you're a Christian this morning, anytime you make up your mind that you're going to follow God, the enemy immediately is going to come against you. He's going to do everything he can to make you change your mind, to walk away, or to say, "Oh, well, I must have been mistaken." Okay? Jesus, it's important to remember this. Jesus was led by the Spirit. Does that mean the Holy Spirit led him in the desert and said, "Okay, bud, you're on your own"? No. Think about this the whole time. It only gives us three instances, but the Bible says he was tempted for 40 days. How would you like to have that opposition, Christian? Imagine every morning when you woke up, there'd be the devil. "Boy, I'm going to mess you up today. I'm going to make you stumble today. I'm going to do my best to ruin your testimony. I'm going to do my best to cause you to walk away from God." That's his game. Some people like to worship the devil because they said he's so cool. He knows we're sinners and he doesn't expect us to change. He hates you with every fiber of his being. Jesus called him the thief, and he said he's come to kill, steal, and destroy. People that want to follow the devil, you're not going to reign in the lake of fire with him. You're going to suffer with him. That's the God's honest truth. That's what God said. I didn't say it. Now, let's look at this temptation. It says, after 40 days of not eating, he was hungry. Was that a sinful desire? No. Why do we get hungry? Why did God give us that hunger? When the belly says to the brain, or the brain says to the belly, "Hey, I need energy, you got to put something in there that's going to pump my energy up." That's why God did it. So that's not a sinful desire. I went through all the arguments in Bible college. A professor one day asked a room full of preachers, "Could Jesus have sinned?" Boy, you should have heard the arguments. My theory is, if he could not have, absolutely no chance of it, why would Satan have bothered with him? You see, Satan knew if he could trip this guy up, as the Apostle Paul said, we would be of all people most to be pitied. Those of us who have run to him for refuge. So here Jesus is, and this is his one-on-one time. He knew the devil was coming to tempt him. And remember that phrase, he was led by the Spirit. That is important. I used to misquote James all the time when I was first saved. James said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And one day the Holy Spirit said, that's not what I said. You're pulling text out of context. I said, humble yourselves under the hand of God, then resist the devil and he will flee from you. This seems like a harmless temptation. It almost seems very benevolent of the devil. Jesus is hungry. The devil knows he's hungry. The devil comes to him, and I think he's holding that rock in his hand. He said, look, if you're the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. And Dr. Clark says, the translation actually says, if you are a Son of God, command this stone to become bread. You need to eat something, man. You don't look good. Jesus, you went farther than a lot of people have. No sense being radical about it. Here, eat something. End this fast. End that hunger. What did Jesus say? It is written. There's the word. It is written. How do you know it was written? Well, he's the author of the book. But Jesus, the man, had to study those scrolls the same way you and I are required to get into the Word. Jesus had been in the Word. And Jesus could look at the tempter and say, well, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone. The full quote is found in the book of Deuteronomy. When God told Moses, I brought you into the wilderness, the children of Israel, and I caused you to hunger for a while. That's when they started whining, we need something to eat, and he rained the manna down. And God said, Moses, I did that to teach you. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Why would it have been a sin for Jesus to break his fast? Because he'd have been saying to the devil in the world, God's not the one that's going to meet my needs, so I better turn this stone into bread and eat. You see, Satan always has an ulterior motive when he promises you good things. Well, we got a sinful nature, really? Did God create anything sinful? Not that I know of. And I've not read in the Word yet where God says we have a sinful nature. We have a propensity to do what we want to do. All sin is for self-gratification. It's a desire. It's not an entity. It's not a spirit. It is a desire that goes contrary to what God has said. God said, you shall not lie. What do I do if I'm in a situation or I want to look good? I might lie. Makes me look better. Gets me out of trouble. God said, don't do it. David said, a righteous man will swear to his own hurt and won't change. Here is Jesus, the Son of the living God, God the Word, who's become a man. The Bible said he became a man because the children have flesh and blood. He too shared in their humanity. I'm going to tell you something. The scriptures say Jesus was tempted in every point just like I am, yet without sin. So if that wasn't a real temptation to Jesus, if he had an extra edge over sin, death, and the devil, then the writer Hebrews didn't tell the truth. He hadn't been tempted like I have. And yet the first temptation Satan hits him with is a physical appetite, hunger. Hey man, eat some. And Jesus, if he'd have done that, he'd have been defeated. But he says, man shall not live by bread alone. Some of the other gospels include the rest of that. But by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Satan, I'm trusting God. As I said, let me reiterate this. Yeah, I've been having trouble all morning with that. When you decide to become a follower of Jesus Christ, you hang a target on you for him to aim at. The devil, I mean, the tempter. He does not like it when his children switch sides. You understand? Jesus said, if you're not one of his followers, you're following the devil. Bob Dylan said it well. You got to serve somebody. It might be the devil, and it might be the Lord, but you got to serve somebody. You got to choose a side. And Satan knows this is the guy who has come to take the sins of the world on his shoulders, and if he succeeds, he'll break my power. The Bible says that. He defeated Satan and openly triumphed over all the power that he has. Well, Satan didn't want that to happen. He wants us in bondage to sin and to death. He wants us in fear. He wants us to feel self-sufficient. I'll take care of me, thank you. I know what's better for me. I remember a guy told me one time his ex-girlfriend was telling his girlfriend how to treat him. And he said, I thought there was going to be a cat fight right there. Because she said, well, he likes this and he likes that. And she said, yeah, I know. You don't need to tell me that. Satan is a deceiver. The word satan means adversary, an enemy. So Jesus is on a mission for the Lord God, his Father. He has dedicated his life to dying on that cross. It's written in the Psalms. In burnt offerings and sin offerings, you have had no pleasure. Then I said, here I am, and the volume of the book has been written about me. I have come to do your will, O God. And any time, church, you set your mind to follow Jesus Christ, the enemy will come against you. It's not a matter of if, it's when. Okay? So Jesus says to the devil, the word says, and I believe. I believe the word of God, just as it's written. I believe what God has said. He has told me that I don't have to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from his mouth. I'm fine, Satan. I'll eat when this is all over. I'm sorry to say that a lot of preachers today would have ate that loaf of bread. Oh, well, look, man, you know, this might be God telling me it's okay to eat. That's where a lot of Christians can get in trouble. Remember the Apostle Paul said Satan can appear as an angel of light, so can his apostles. You got to be careful who you're listening to, church. So Satan goes, okay, one for Jesus. He said, now I'm going to tempt you with authority and power. Everybody likes to be popular, and a lot of people would like to be powerful. But you see, Satan knows the Bible. Satan knew that God in the Psalms promised his son, I will make the nations your inheritance, and you shall rule them with a rod of iron. That's in Psalms 2. Here's what it says. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. There it is. God said, this is what I'm going to do. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Absolute power. Absolute authority. Now therefore, King, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. For his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Praise God. Have you taken refuge in him? That means you're trusting him and only him for your salvation. Not your works, not what church you go to. You fully trust in what he did for you on that cross. and you line up with God and with His Word, and you say, you know what? You're right, God. I am a sinner. You're right, God. I have offended You. My life offends You. My actions offend You. But what did God say in the book of Romans? At just the right time, Christ died for us. And God commends His love to us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But you see, God's promise of a kingdom and a crown would not be fulfilled until after the cross. Keep this in your mind. The devil will always try to get you to go the easiest route, the path of least resistance. And he'll make it look like it's God's will. Here's the devil that says to the Lord God, his creator, by the way, see all this kingdom, see all this authority, see all this power. I'm not like God. You don't have to suffer. Why should you suffer? It's a commendable thing what you're doing here in the first place. I'll offer you a shortcut. I'll offer you the path of least resistance. All you got to do is bow the knee, and I'll give it to you. How long would that kingdom have lasted? Till the end of these days. Until he died. If Jesus would have made a covenant with the devil right there and said, okay, it'd have been his until his death. But see, Jesus said, no, it's written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And I've shared this with you before, but there are things in each of our lives that are stumbling blocks and hindrances to our walk with the Lord. And the way the Lord started chipping away at me with those things, he began to say, that's an idol. And I was watching a documentary on time in India, and these priests bound down in front of these blocks of stone. And they said, well, see, the spirits in the mountains come into these stones, and they become gods, and we worship them. And I thought, man, are you guys ignorant in any other area of life? Yeah. You ain't going to catch me bound down to a rock or a tree. But I used to bow my knee to weed. When I was first a Christian, yeah. But to booze, to sin. Ooh. And the Holy Spirit began to say, that's a God in your life. You don't have to worship a rock to be guilty of idolatry. You can worship your wife, your husband, your needs, and that becomes an idol. Jesus said, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Did he just stop there? No. Jesus was saying, I believe it. I want to tell you something, the Christian walk, I don't like the word blind faith because my faith isn't blind. I know who I believe in, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep those things I've committed to him against that day. And anything I find in the word, my faith isn't blind. Yeah, I believe in God, one God. I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son, who was sentenced to death by Pontius Pilate, died on a cross, and was buried, and the third day was raised, and now he sits at the right hand of God the Father until all of his enemies were made a footstool. But he had to go through the cross before he ever got the crown. And what the devil's going to say, man, that's just not fair for God to expect you to do something like that. I'll give you the glory. But when Jesus said it is written, he was saying, this is what I believe. And I'm going to follow God. You listen to the world, church, they will try to talk you out of your faith. Or they will so water it down that it's powerless.
Paul told Timothy in the last days there would be people who would have a form of godliness, but they'd deny the power of it. What power? The power to rescue you from sin. The power to keep you from temptation. Temptation is not a sin. It's what you do with it. And Satan, he gives Jesus this ultimatum, if you'll worship me, I'll give you this power. How easy is that? And Jesus said, no, I'm only going to worship God. And Christian, that's the kind of dedication he's looking for today out of his people. Remember what Jesus told the woman at the well? The true worshipers shall worship God in spirit, the Holy Spirit, and in truth. For those are the seekers that God is looking for. Those are the worshipers that God is going to listen to, that he's going to bless. Well, you tell me if I'm a Christian, I'll never sin? No. Sometimes we get land blasted. We get flanked at a weak moment, and we fall into sin. My Bible says if you'll confess that sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from unrighteousness. Okay? Praise God. I've had to stand on that scripture more than once in my life as a Christian. But what I'm saying to you and what the world is saying to you is that you can resist temptation through the power of Christ who is in you. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who gives me strength. Who do you think Jesus was relying on at this time? Not on himself. He was being led by the Spirit. The Spirit is the fellowship that we as Christians have with God the Father and with Jesus Christ. Remember Paul telling the Corinthian church, I had this thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan sent to buffet me, and I pleaded with God 3 times, take this thing away. And what God said? No. Jesus said, no, Paul, you need that. You're kind of getting the big head. And you need to be humbled. So I'm not gonna make that guy leave you alone. This demon, I'm not gonna make him leave you alone. But I'll tell you what, he said, my strength is made perfect in weakness, Paul. And Paul went on to say, praise God, when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. For he said, I realize the power of Christ rests upon me. What power? To have victory over that thorn in the flesh, to be able to go on and minister in the name of Jesus Christ, even though he had that demon right next to him, aggravating him, agitating him. Satan wants to kill, steal, and destroy. Paul was a barn burner. Man, you talk about a church planter. You talking about evangelist. Paul evangelized all of Asia Minor. It says he was in one city and he rented a hall, and within 2 years, everybody in Asia had heard the gospel. He took Jesus' command literally. Go out into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to do everything I've commanded you. Paul took that literally. Don't you just hate those religious fanatics? You know, don't they kind of get on your nerves? The Christians that make Christians uncomfortable. I've known a few Christians like that. You want to walk up and whine and belly ache about how things are going to, oh, praise Jesus, I just want to testify for the Lord. And you really want to say, would you just shut up? I don't want to hear your testimony. Here's the guy that's going to the cross for you and me. Everything hangs on what happens here. Everything. Now, the Bible, according to Mark and Matthew, Luke switched around the two temptations. Mark and Matthew both agree that the second thing he was tempted with was to jump off the temple. Luke saves it for last. I don't know why. This time, it says the devil takes him to the highest pinnacle of the temple, which, if I remember right, with the slope it set on was about 500 foot in the air. Josephus, the historian, talks about that tower, and he said it would make you dizzy, look down. And Satan said, if you are the Son of God,
Throw yourself down. Read it. Psalms 91:11. He will give his angels charge concerning you, and in their hands they'll bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. And say, sinner, jump, let's see if God does it. Go ahead, jump. Jesus said, it's also said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God or put him to the test. You know, that's beautiful in that Psalms. Dr. Clark, I was reading that this week. He said the picture there, the angels will bear you up. In the Hebrew, he said it's a picture of a nurse holding on to a child's hands who's learning to walk. You know, a lot of them had nurses raising their kids because they were out there trying to live. I think we call them nannies today. But Dr. Clark said that they hold on to that kid's hands and walk with them. And when the child would reach a stumbling block, something that was going to impede their path, the nurse would gently lift up and set them over it. Wow. God said, I'm going to hold your hand all the way. And do you think that was just for him? It's for us. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. What if we lose all of our earthly treasures? What if they take away our houses and our lands, and we're forced to live in caves, shacks out in the woods? What if? Some people would say, well, God's mad at me. I'm going back. God said, I'll never leave you alone. There's a passage in Isaiah where he said to the Jews, even when your hair is white, I'm still going to deliver you. For some of us, that's getting a lot closer. You know, praise God, I'm glad to hear that. So Satan says, he said he's going to, the angels will pick you up. Let's see if they'll catch you. Jesus said, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And after these things, the devil left him for good. No, still a more opportune time. That's why the Apostle Paul said, church, take heed when you think you stand, lest you fall. You can get a big head, you know, I haven't sinned in years. And Satan knows your weaknesses. Remember what Peter said to the elders of the church? Be careful. Be sober. Be diligent. Vigilant. For your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. I like watching them nature shows, except if they leave the narrators out, because a lot of them talk evolution anymore. That's just a bunch of hoo-ah. But you watch the lions hunt, and it's the females, by the way, that do the hunting. The males lay up in the shade and wait for them to drag that dead animal up and get in their cup. But Peter said he's actively like a lion, and the lions will circle a herd of antelope, or whatever they're looking at, zebras, whatever, and they start looking for the weak, the sick, and those who have isolated themselves from the herd. I don't have to go to church to be a Christian, no. But if you're a Christian, you're commanded to be in church on the Lord's Day. I didn't write that, God did. Why? Because we need to be together and we need to fellowship with one another. Because we've got 6 more days out there in that godless world who's going to try their best to talk us out of our faith. Because when you're light, Jesus said men do not like the light. They love the darkness. They prefer the darkness because their deeds are evil. At church, when we're out here being light, Satan hates that. Because the light does expose evil. The light causes people to turn from following him and turn to Jesus Christ. Not all. Not all. Things come out of Christians' mouths that just grieve me. And when I say grieve, it doesn't make me angry. It breaks my heart. How to resist temptation. Number one, you must be led by the Spirit. Paul told the church of Galatia, walk after the Spirit and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. How do I walk after or with the Spirit? By being in agreement with Him. When God says, you shall not, you need to write that down. He's wrote it in your heart, by the way. But you need to write that down and take it as the gospel truth that God is saying, you shall not do that. Don't go to the TV gurus and get them to analyze this statement and tell you God really didn't mean that. You remember how Satan tempted Adam and Eve? Did God really say, well, I know God said it, but is that really what He means? And He still does that today to the church. God knows the Bible says that, but, you know, come on, man. God's a God of love. I rebuked a couple gently one time. They wanted to lead the youth group, and they weren't married, and they were together. And the woman said, I know us living together is wrong. I said, who told you that? Did the pastor or myself? No. I said, is anybody in the church talking? No. Who told you that? God. I said, then you're responsible for that. Ball's in your court. I have talked to Christian young people that admit to me they're having sex. Don't you know the Bible says that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and whoever defiles that temple, him God will destroy? I know the Bible says that, but God is God of love. There's the devil quoting scripture to you again. God is God of love. He understands. One girl asked me in youth class, well, if my girlfriend buys a blouse that looks terrible, am I supposed to lie when she asks my opinion? I said, no, but tell them the truth. You don't have to be ugly. You can say, well, I just don't think that looks that good on you. You know, you don't have to be mean about it. They taught a business class on business ethics, which I found out there's very few. I mean, there is on paper, but a lot of business practices are not ethical. It's like for them, it's a suggestion. And that's how a lot of people take the Bible. Well, it's a suggestion. It's an idea that it'd be nice if we could do that, but we can't. Well, I can't, but Jesus Christ did. And He lives in me, and He's promising He came here to set me free from these things. But it's up to me who I'm going to follow. The preacher that baptized me, he knew my history. He knew I used to deal drugs and all this other stuff because he was the same kind of person before he got saved. And when I come out of the water, he said, brother, I know you're happy right now. You know, you have this peace. And I did. I quit fighting with God. And, oh, man, glory to God. And he said, and you think the devil will never bother you again. But he said, well, let me tell you something. You just hung a big old target around you, and he's coming after you. I thought, man, what a killjoy. You trying to ruin my buzz? You know, you trying to ruin my feelings? I got up the next morning, and I, for the first time in my life, I had the peace that passes understanding. I woke up, and God was right there. Wow! Praise God! And I knew that Christ had done a work in me. I went out, and my dad was sitting there watching his football game, drinking beer. He goes, hey, what are you doing? I said, I came down, got baptized in the Lord, and I've been born again. Oh, blah, 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 blah. That means the conversation's over. I don't want to talk to you anymore. Do I get sidetracked? Yep. Have I walked out of God's will? Yes. More than once. But you know what I found out? That if I repent and return to Him, He says, I forgive you. Not because of you, because of Jesus Christ, because of that blood He shed. And I'll find that when I follow Him, if I will agree with the Spirit and walk with the Spirit, it's like that song says, the things of earth become strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Church,
We have been called to live a victorious life in Jesus Christ. Yeah. Does that mean I'm going to walk around with a big old grin on my face all the time? No. There's days, that sign out there, I've had days that I wanted to post on the front of it, "You're ugly and your mother dresses you funny." Or I come home from the church service and I want to watch Clint Eastwood blow somebody away with his 44. But I serve a very faithful and merciful God. And he says, if you'll follow me, Paul said, keep in step with the Spirit and you won't fulfill the desires of the flesh. Satan didn't leave Jesus alone for the rest of his earthly ministry. It said he waited for a more opportune time. I like what Mel Gibson did in the movie The Passion when it shows the Lord down there sweating, praying, and Satan standing there going, "Who is your father?" And then he turns that snake loose. I love it when Jesus stops the snake. Say, "Stop him again, Lord." If you're here this morning and you are a child of God, I want to tell you, you're not alone. But I also want to warn you, the devil does not like you. And when you decide to follow Christ from that day till the day they throw dirt in your face, you're going to be opposed by the enemy. And you can't on your own withstand that. You have to be filled with the Spirit of Christ. You have to agree with the Word. You have to humble yourselves under God's mighty hand. Then resist temptation, and he will flee. Will you stand with me this morning? I'm looking forward to the coming months when we're going to talk about walking by faith and about prayer, resisting temptation. There are people that God has left their accounts in the Scriptures to show us what to do and what not to do. And one of the most godly men in the Scriptures didn't do the right thing. We'll talk about that. If you're here this morning and you've never called out on the name of the Lord, we invite you to do that. The Holy Spirit says, "Don't harden your heart against my voice." While it's today, today is the day of salvation. Listen to me. Come to me. And God is waiting with open arms to forgive us, to forgive you, and to give you a whole new life. Would you come as we sing the song of invitation, please? And if he's up to it, if he's not, then I'll be finding something that we can discuss. Any prayer requests before we close the service? All right, well, I apologize. I don't have the bulletin here. I don't know who has closing prayer, but if you would you please pray for us?
Let us pray. Dear Lord, please make us aware of our pride and our faults and our anger and our mistakes, and have us turn to you, Lord, because we know without you, we will go to the devil. We will falter. We will fall. And without you, we cannot and will not end up as your children of God. Lord, we thank you and praise you so much for this last year that we've had. We pray that each and every person here can take this year and look back at the blessings that you have given us. We should be on our knees thanking you until the end of next year with all the blessings that we've had. We thank you so much for that, Lord. Let us be aware of the people that are hurting, of Mark, and especially Mark because of his problems that he's having right now, and of those people on the back of the list that we have, of these people that are on our prayer list. Lord, they need our prayer. They need your support, and we know that they're getting it. It may not be the answers we want, but it is your answer and your will, and that's what we want to know, and that's what we have to follow. We need the Holy Spirit, Lord. We need it strong. We need it boldly. We need to be out there talking to people and letting them know that you are our only hope, that there is no other hope besides you, Lord. We thank you and love you, Lord, for this day, for the message that we received from Rick, for our fellowship with each other. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
My Redeemer lives, my Redeemer lives, my Redeemer lives, yes, my Redeemer lives.